Help us to listen. Help us to understand. Help us to believe what you say to us. And help us to do what you tell us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, there are some things I can do, and there are some things I can't do. Here's one thing I can do. I can whistle and hum at the same time. I'm not going to do it now, but I will do it at the door at the end of the service for a small contribution. Here's another thing I can do. I can waggle my ears. If you're a student at the parish school, you will have seen this. Indeed, for about the last 30 years, people have seen this. Again, I'm not going to do it now. If you can waggle your ears, let me know at the door, please. Now, I'm very glad to hear it. Now, there are some things I can't do. For example, I can't, but I've often tried, I can't raise one eyebrow at a time. You know, make one go up and the other one down, and then the other one up and the first one down. Can't do it. Now, you may be able to do that. Can anyone do that? Yes. Good. Well done. Well, I wish I could do it. And here's something else I can't do. I can't touch my ears with my toes. Now, I'm fairly sure that there will be someone in the congregation who can do this. Is there anyone who can do it and would be prepared to show us? Come on then, out you come. Come on. Right. A demonstration of touching your ears with your toes. Ah. Wouldn't you love to be able to do that still? Now, there are some things which are impossible for all of us. For example, we can't see where we're going if we shut our eyes. Or if you put on a blindfold, I brought one with me, but I don't think I'm going to use it. If you put on a blindfold to cover your eyes, you can't see where you're going. Don't try it, and particularly don't try it if you're on a bike or driving a car. It's not sensible. No. Now then, if your eyes are open, there are still some things that you can't see. I spent Friday afternoon trying to tighten a screw. Now, I thought that provided I'd got a screwdriver, it would take me 2 minutes at the most to tighten this screw. Unfortunately, it was in a difficult position, and an hour later, with tools all around me on the ground, I still hadn't been able to see how to tighten the screw. Do you see? My eyes were open, but I couldn't see. That reminds me of when I was at school, and we used to be set in maths problems to do. The teacher could see exactly how to do the problem. I couldn't. And I used to get so very flummoxed over how to do these maths problems. Couldn't see. Yet my eyes were open. Now, Jesus' disciples had their eyes open, but quite often there were things that they couldn't see. They couldn't see sometimes what Jesus meant when he was talking to them. They couldn't see what he was getting at. They were, if you like to put it this way, a bit slow on the uptake. I wonder whether you were ever called a bit slow on the uptake. I certainly was. Actually, on one occasion, Jesus said to them that they were slow of heart to believe. Their eyes were open, their ordinary eyes were open, but they couldn't see what Jesus was on about. And that's the reason why, when the day of Pentecost came, which we heard about in the reading just now, the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus' disciples, and through them to the rest of us. And the Spirit was given to open our eyes so that we could understand. Now, what in fact happened on the day of Pentecost was that they were all together in one place, and the Spirit came on them. And what did they do? Well, we're told what they did. We're told that they declared the wonders of God. In other words, they began to praise the Lord. They began to praise. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, he opens our eyes to see God's wonders, and we immediately want to praise God. That's the sure sign of the Holy Spirit coming. Now, the Holy Spirit has been called the first fact of Christian experience. And one of the things that happens is that he opens our eyes to understand. So, for example, you can't see God. No one has ever seen God. He is invisible. With your ordinary eyes, you can't see him. But what the Holy Spirit does is make him real. You still can't see him with your ordinary eyes, but you can know that he is real. And when you know that God is real, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You're experiencing the Holy Spirit. Take Jesus. Jesus is a name in a book for some people. Sometimes, sadly, he's just a bad word. But what the Holy Spirit does is help you to see that Jesus is your friend. You suddenly realize through the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just someone from years and years and years ago, someone you read about in the book, but someone who's alongside you now as your friend with whom you can have a real relationship. Or take the Bible. For a lot of people, the Bible is a very boring book. It's long, it's got difficult words in, and some Bibles are written in very old-fashioned language. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you begin to read the Bible, and I'm speaking here from personal experience, I can assure you, the Bible comes to life, and suddenly you realize that it's teaching you and telling you truths, great truths about the world and about God. Or what about salvation? Receiving God's wonderful gift of forgiveness and eternal life. For some people, that doesn't mean anything. Well, salvation, couldn't care less. But when the Holy Spirit comes and opens your eyes, then suddenly you realize it's great to be saved. We used to sing a song in which, when we got to the bit, "I'm saved," everyone would jump up in there and stick their hands up because they were so glad that to know that they were saved and had the gift of forgiveness and of eternal life. For years and years and years, I used to say to boys and girls, there are four great gifts that God wants you to have. And there are four steps you need to take to receive those gifts. I'll tell you what the gifts are. The gifts are the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life with God forever, a place in God's great family, so we all belong together, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the four steps to take to receive those wonderful gifts that God gives us are, first of all, you repent. You turn round, you change your mind about your life. Then you believe, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you receive the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, may the Holy Spirit come into me so that my body becomes his temple, the place where he loves to live. And finally, you are baptized. Four steps to receive four gifts. Now we're thinking today about just one gift and one step. The gift is the Holy Spirit, who is given to every Christian, but you've got to ask for him. And so the step to take is to pray to the Lord, please may I be baptized in your Spirit. Please may I receive your Spirit. Please may I be filled with your Spirit. And the sign that that has happened will be that you're filled with praise, just like those disciples on the day of Pentecost, filled with praise, because you see that it all makes sense. You see that God is real, that Jesus is your friend, and salvation is experience for now. Let's be quiet for a moment and close our eyes and bow our heads. And first of all, let's make our own prayer to the Lord for the gift of his Spirit. Who is the Spirit of Jesus. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you are all love, and you love to give us gifts, and you love to give us your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to receive him gladly, the Spirit of Jesus in our lives, and to know the experience of living in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And fill our hearts, we pray, with true praise, worship, and adoration. For Jesus' glory alone. Amen.